Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Thank you so much. If you are sitting or standing next to your husband or your wife, can you quickly kiss them? Some of you got very excited when I said that. That's good. Hey, Gavin, you enjoyed that in the front row? Roxy? It is really wonderful to be in the house of God. And like Marina said, we have the opportunity to come before God, to come before His Word, and just declare again that we're here to submit to His Word. We're here to hear from Him. We want to follow Him. He is our Lord. He is our God. And He knows best. Amen. He knows best. Amen. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You so much for Your Word. Before we read it, before we study it, Lord, we just want to say, Lord, that we're here to follow You, Lord. We're here to hear from You, God. We're here to be guided by You, Jesus. And we pray that You'd speak to us. Not only speak, but that we would hear and that we would have the courage to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seats. It really is wonderful. Thank you so much, worship team, to be here this morning and to be back from Zambia. It really is great. But God did incredible, incredible things in Zambia. And this morning, my message this morning is being led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And the verse that we're going to start off by reading is out of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The children of God are led by the Spirit. I love what that says. It doesn't say the pastors. It doesn't say the super spiritual. It doesn't say the select few. It says the children. That's all of us. God wants every single one of us to be led by Him, to follow Him. Marinette often says that God doesn't speak to be heard, He speaks to be obeyed. And God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? So a question I think we should start, maybe you should ask yourself this morning is, am I listening? Are you listening? God is speaking, He's always speaking. Sometimes we don't recognize His voice, we don't know it's Him speaking. Maybe we don't want to, or maybe we haven't taken the time to sit and to respond. But God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? And Renette and I are extremely humbled and grateful. Over the last 25 years of being married, we married in December, 25 years. What a privilege to serve God together. What a privilege to honor God with our lives and to try as humbly and as best as what we can to follow Him and to follow our lead, follow His leading. We just came back from Zambia, as you heard, and had an incredible team. I got a picture of some of the team up that'll come up onto the screen. An incredible team of amazing people. So this team, together with some of them, are from America, from our church in the U.S., excluded our Zambian team from our church in Mongu, coming together and taking the gospel into places that had never heard the gospel before. Lost count of exactly how many villages we went into that we were able to share the gospel with. We think it was over 22, 23 villages. This last Sunday, for the very first time, we had six church services in communities that have never, ever had church before. It's amazing. And every single morning I'd break up, we'd pray, have a great quiet time. Ruan at the back would make roast to cook for everybody. And then we'd split up into seven different teams, small teams, and go into different villages trying to pray and being led by God and go into these little villages and ask them if we can share the word of God with them. What was overwhelming is that every single community that we went to was open, was please, we want the word of God. Yes, we've heard. about Jesus, because we had started, we actually opened up this area to the gospel 3 years ago. And the last year we had another team that went about 2 hours drive further down this one tributary of the Zambezi, Njoko River, that we were, and then we went further up that river this year. So news of what had happened last year and of us sharing the gospel that spread up to where we were this year. And every single village was overwhelming. Please, we want a church. Please, we want this Jesus. Please, can you share the word of God with us? Like a hunger and an openness. We had the privilege in going sharing the Bible with people, sharing the truth and seeing the radical transformation that takes place in people's lives. And really, as I look back at the last 25 years, and we're like, wow. Got over 350 churches in Western Zambia amongst communities that had never had the gospel before. Never. And to see radical, radical transformation. Praise God. Look at this amazing, amazing. Just look around the room. Incredible people here. Incredible people. Look at what's doing in Mossel Bay and Park Dean and the goodness of God. He's so good. John 10, Bible says that my sheep hear my voice and follow me. So we have to be sheep that hear his voice and follow him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. For they are at conflict, they are in conflict one with one another, so that you do not do whatever you want. So what he's saying is actually there's these conflicting voices inside of us. There's the flesh and there's the Spirit. There's our souls, and not just our flesh, but Satan, the demonic, that kind of helps, wants to rule us away. We know that that's why Satan, when he came to tempt Eve, it was for Eve and Adam to be independent of God, to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be something instead of submitting to him. And so there's this flesh, there's this side of us that wants to do what is wrong, that wants to be independent, that thinks it knows best. But we know that following that voice and those desires ultimately leads to destruction, leads to pain, leads to suffering. There's a way that seems right to us, but the end result is not good. And then there's the Spirit of God that leads us into righteousness, leads us into hope, leads us into what God's got for us. And God's plans for your life and for my life and for your family and for your future are way better than you could ever imagine. Bible actually says that God's plans for your life are bigger and better than you could possibly imagine. Way better. He cares more about your future than you do. That's why he died to open a door for you to have a better future. Why wouldn't we want to follow him? But it's not always easy, because what this says here is that if we follow him, we cannot do what we want. We cannot do what seems right to us. So that you do not do whatever you want. We can't live lives doing whatever we want. If we do whatever we want, trouble. We have to live our lives under his rule and under his guidance when that makes sense, and especially when it doesn't make sense. Because sometimes it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to give your money away. No, we want more money. God says, no, give it. I'm like, okay. Now God says, forgive, love your enemies, be kind to those that are not kind to you. But it's so much better to submit to him, to follow him. Those that are led by the Spirit are children of God, to be led by him, to be led by him. Well, how does God speak? Often he speaks to us in these gentle nudgings in our heart. Like a tug, a gentle whisper. Very seldom is the Spirit speak to us loud and audibly. Normally it's quiet, gentle, because God is a gentleman. He wants us to listen to him. and to learn to recognize his voice and to follow him. Like I said, Marinette and I have been married for a while, and it's been such a privilege to get to know one another. And the more we get to know one another, the more we know what's on each other's hearts, what each one of us cares about. Yes. So somebody can say to me, no, Marinette said this, and I'm like, no, she wouldn't have said that. I can recognize what she would say and what she wouldn't say because I know what's on her heart. I know what she cares about. Yeah. I know what motivates her. And if we want to be led by the Spirit, we need to let to know the Spirit. What is the Spirit concerned about? What's on the Spirit's mind? What is he about? What is the Holy Spirit motivated by? What is he busy doing and what is he busy building? And once you know that, then it's so much easier to then recognize his voice. So this morning, I'm just going to mention some things that we know the Word of God teaches us that the Holy Spirit is concerned about and what he's building and what he's moving towards, so that it helps us then recognize his voice. And so the first thing that we need to know is that the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. He's always seeking and saving the lost. He is always seeking and saving the lost. Mark, who's sitting over there, he was on our missions team this year. He and I were talking about this verse while we're in the bush in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. It says, Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Well, who is the Lord of the harvest? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible for getting the harvest, and the harvest is ripe and the harvest is large. And so he's sending out us to gather the harvest. What is the harvest? The harvest is people. And so the Holy Spirit is always nudging and working and moving us to get involved in getting the harvest in. He's always going to move towards that. He's always going to be moving all of us towards helping us build the kingdom of God. That's what he's doing. And so if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is doing, that's what he's doing. And so his voice and his guidance is always going to lead towards that. Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Even rural villages in Western Zambia. The Spirit of God is not only guiding us and leading us, but he's empowering us to do his work. The second thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is that he leads to truth. The Holy Spirit is always concerned with the truth. John chapter 16, verse 7 to verse 13 says this, very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Unless I go, the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Some profound statements. The first one is that it's better that I go. That's a big statement. Jesus was with one leader, with 12 disciples, but now, because he went to heaven, he now, through the Holy Spirit, is with each and every one of us living inside of us, guiding us into all truth. Christianity is not about obeying laws and trying to be better. Christianity is ultimately about following, following someone, following the Holy Spirit. That's really, if you wanted to understand what Christianity, that's what Christianity is, following, submitting and following him. That's one of the reasons why the Bible described, in the first few years of Christianity's existence, described those that believed as followers of the way. Followers, we are followers of him. Followers of his Spirit, and he's always leading us into all truth. In other words, that's how he's leading us. Well, how do we do that? One of the primary ways he does that is through the Word of God. So the Bible is all truth. It's all true. Everything in the Bible is true. And it's the standard by which we judge all other truth. So we measure everything else by the standard of the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that all truth is in the Bible, but it does mean that the Bible is all true. So in other words, if you want to know, is something else true? Well, does it line up with the Word of God? Now, like I said, not all truth is in the Bible. For example, the Springboks are the best rugby team in the world. It's true. I mean, that's been proven. I can't find a verse for that, but it is true. So there are truths out there that aren't necessarily in the Word of God, but we judge truth by the standard of the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit will primarily lead us through Scriptures. One of the primary reasons why we need to spend time reading the Word of God. And if we ignore the written Word of God, we will struggle to recognize the spoken leading of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and learn to recognize his voice, the easiest way is just to simply obey the clear instructions in the Word of God. And if you're struggling to obey the clear, simple instructions of the Word of God, you're going to really struggle to hear his voice. As a matter of fact, you're probably not going to recognize it. So we've got to just obey the written Word. Let's start there. Let's start with the clear instructions in the Word of God. Worst verses like forgive, like love, like give, like tithe, like serve. There's clear instructions in the Word of God that God asks us to do, and we need to start with those. And then we start to recognize more of what he's saying to us. He leads us into righteousness. He leads us into righteousness, into right living. He's always moving us towards that. He's convicting us and showing us in things in our lives. I love this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." And the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So one of the ways that he guides us is through peace. But that word rule there is actually a similar word to the word umpire. Umpire. To say this is right, this is wrong. So peace is the umpire of our hearts. It guides us. It's one of the things that the Holy Spirit uses to guide us. Now, we mustn't confuse peace with comfort. We mustn't confuse peace with everything going well in our lives. It's not talking about external peace. It's talking about an internal peace from knowing God, from knowing this is his will, knowing that he's with us, a peace that comes from a faith in God because you know him. You can have peace in the middle of a storm. Jesus is sleeping while there's a storm going on around him. You can, the worst storm imaginable can be happening all around you, but you've got peace. Everything can be going well around you, but you don't have peace. Peace is the umpire of our hearts. It guides us, and we need to learn to recognize it and follow it and obey its leading and guiding. Like I said, we always judge the leading of God by the Word of God. So we need to know the Word of God. He leads us to grace. Grace is a beautiful word. It's more than just mercy. It includes mercy, but actually the real word for grace is a supernatural empowering to help you be and do what you can't do and be by yourself. When God leads us, he leads us to grace. And there's an important distinction between conviction, which comes from the Holy Spirit, and condemnation. Conviction is the Holy Spirit's working, and there's always hope attached to conviction, but condemnation, there's no hope attached to it. Satan condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts. Condemnation is you're bad, you're useless, you're never going to amount to anything, this is the end. You failed. But conviction says, that's not what God created you to do. There's more to you. With the power of God, you can overcome. Yes, you made mistakes, but it's not the end. If you lean into him, things can get better. Condemnation pushes us away from God. The other one draws us towards him. The Holy Spirit always leads us towards sacrifice. Sacrifice for the right things, not the wrong things. Sometimes we make sacrifices for ourselves. But the leading of the Holy Spirit is always going to ask us to sacrifice for his kingdom and not our own kingdom. For his name and not our name. For his fame and not our fame. Sacrifice. We live in a world where sacrifices, it's almost become like a swear word. Like it's wrong to sacrifice. No, it's beautiful to sacrifice. It's a wonderful thing to sacrifice. We want more of the presence of God in our lives. And one of the things we notice from the Old Testament is that when there was sacrifice, the fire would fall. Like his presence, the Holy Spirit falls on sacrifice. Every year in August, we have 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I love it because we get to sacrifice food. I love food. A lot. A lot. But we get to go without. Not just food, but all sorts of things. Less of me, more of you, God. Sometimes if you go without food, I'm not saying you different ways to fast, but maybe if you're fasting food or something, by the third or the fourth or the fifth day, you're starting feeling weak. I love that feeling of being weak because I'm relying on him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to sacrifice. To sacrifice our time, our money. I love our church. Come here early. People in red shirts sacrificing their Sunday. Could be sleeping in, but no. They're going to sacrifice sleep for the house of God. What a wonderful thing. He leads us to unity. God is always building the church. The Holy Spirit is always building this. He's building this. And he's always bringing us together. And we're going to end with this one. He's always leading us towards eternity. The Holy Spirit is always going to help us prepare for eternity. Always. Eternity. Where everything will be tested. Matt, with Savannah, they lead our congregation in Northwest Arkansas. And one morning, just as we're getting ready, we're having quiet time, beautiful, watching the sunrise in Zambia, drinking good coffee. We had lots of coffee. Drinking coffee, and we're just sharing after quiet times what, you know, God is speaking to me about, what God's speaking to him about. And he said, now you just read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we just ended up talking about it. And it's a great passage. And this is what it says. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, that's talking about the day when we stand before God, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So this passage is talking about a day when we're going to all stand before God, every single one of us. And there's going to be a day of judgment, a day of reward. And what's going to happen is what we've done with this life is going to come, we're going to stand before him and God's going to test what we've done. Now here, this talks about how we only get rewarded for what we do to build his kingdom and not our kingdom. Anything we do to build our kingdom, no reward. Anything to build his kingdom, reward. But then different people that are now building his kingdom are building with different quality materials. Some of those materials don't cost much. Wood, hay, straw. Others cost a lot. And it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested when we stand before God one day. And so we're talking about this and I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm praying that as I stand there and God comes and burns or puts to flame everything that I've done, I'm trusting God that some of us is going to survive. And he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How awesome is that going to be? And the Holy Spirit is always wanting to work in each and every one of us to help you prepare for that day. God, the Holy Spirit is always focused on eternity. Marinette often says that wisdom that comes from below focuses on this world and leads towards below. But wisdom that comes from heaven focuses on heaven and leads towards heaven. So there's different types of wisdom. There's different types of things. And we need to make sure that when we're judging and making decisions, is this decision focusing on eternity and leading towards eternity? Is it focused on that day? Because there is a day. There is a day. Whether you believe it or not. You say, well, there's no day. Well, there's going to be a rude awakening for you. There is a day. And we get to prepare for that in advance. Funny thing, since we've been working in Zambia, have changed their currency twice. They just changed it this last year again. And so I had some kwacha, their currency, that I had about 200 kwacha, and then I went there, and then when I arrived there, it wasn't worth anything because they changed the currency. What a pity. Fortunately, it was 200 kwacha, it's about 200 rand. I thought, if only I'd known, I could have changed in advance, you know? But the truth is that everything that we have in this life is worth nothing when we get to that life. But we have an opportunity to change it in advance. That's why we have an opportunity. We take this and change it into eternal currency, something that's valuable on the other side of this life. And we need to think about that. So Seth and I, my oldest son, we're sitting yesterday, we're talking about life, and he's talking about his job and money and talking about sacrifices. What we spend our time on. And he says to me, he says, Dad, yeah, that's why tithing is so important. So what do you mean? He says, no, Dad, because you know, we can go ahead and we can go working and spending so much time during the week, making money, do this, do that. He says, but when we tithe, what we do out there during the week has eternal value. And we'll be rewarded for that. I thought, Jesus, so true. And it's true for us as a community of faith. When we faithfully give, what's happening in Zambia is happening because of your faithful giving. That's awesome. And so we will be rewarded for just being faithful with our money and our time. That's awesome. You don't have to go to Zambia, but just by you being faithfully doing what you're doing every single week, week in, week out, you help what's happening in Zambia. And when you stand before God, God's going to test it and like, hey, well done. That's awesome. What a privilege. So while we're in Zambia, we went to go visit some of our churches, two of our churches that we started last year. A few weeks ago, I shared the story about these two individuals, a guy called Mulamu, whose name is Bullet, and another guy called Godfrey. He's a witch doctor, got saved, and now his name is Godfrey, not God, because this was God. No, it's God set him free. So there's these two churches that have now started in the two villages that they come from. And I was so encouraged by just seeing, because these churches are small, they're a year old, but genuine faith. And when I first had the privilege of sharing the gospel with them, they'd never heard it before, but they recognized it straight away. Both of them were quite drunk when I shared the gospel with them, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon them and both of them gave their lives to the Lord. And I was challenging them last week and they say, none of them have touched alcohol ever since that day. They've never gone back, and Godfrey's never gone back to witchcraft. They're serving the Lord. They're faithfully serving God, reaching their community. And it was just, I was so encouraged. And so I was able to spend some time in Mulamu's village, in the little church that they've built there. And got actually a video just of us spending time with some of the leaders, just to give you an idea of what the churches look like when they first get started.
So that's what he's talking about here. So I'm going to encourage you from this passage. So we're going to read from verse 23.
Beautiful, eh? People genuinely following the Lord. Great, great, great leaders. Sister, a side note, it was quite funny. So normally when we go to when we did services last Sunday in the bush, we'll be talking to the community, getting everything ready, and our teams are excited. Okay, we're going to start all the services at 9 o'clock in the morning. But just before they left, I said, just remember, our 9 o'clock is not their 9 o'clock. Because we've got watches, but they've got time. So 9 o'clock is... And so they came back and I was like, how'd it go? And they were like laughing. They're like, some people only came at 10 o'clock, hoppers 10, 11 o'clock. So the services started a little bit later. But this church, we went there and we left about 2 hours drive from where we were camping. And so I got there, but we got delayed. I took a wrong turn, got slightly lost. And we eventually got there at 9:45. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's Africa, village church, probably going to start at 10. But actually, the service started at 9 o'clock and finished at 10 o'clock. And I was asked Mulamu, one of the leaders, I said, what happens? He says, no, we're Hope Family. We start at 9 o'clock and we finish at 10 o'clock. But little things that are happening, little changes like that, it's like God's work. God's at work. But then I went to this witch doctor that we had led to the Lord, and he wanted to burn all of his charms. He'd given up a lot of his charms previously, but there were some charms that he was holding on to because they had cost a lot personally, a lot for his family, sacrificed a lot to get them. And by getting these charms, gave him status, gave him power, gave him protection, gave him a lot of money, made him someone great. And so now that he's given his life to the Lord, he wants to burn them. So we went there and it was a big thing and got all the charms. Weird things, pieces of animal skin and feces from a hyena and from a python. And these weird things that he was doing. He brings it all out and we start a fire and he burns it. Let's get the video of us burning some of the charms. Those charms that cost him a lot of money, a lot of all sorts of things. And he was burning that. And What is burning out? I felt like this incredible, like sorrow. I felt so sorry for him. Because he had wasted so much of his life focusing on getting more of that stuff. What a waste. But what a privilege at the same time that he's finally come to the truth. And he knows there's no hope in that, and that's not his future. He's burning it, but at the same time, he's letting go of that. He's burning his status, burning his power, burning all his money making and his income and everything else. He's burning it all because there's no turning back. He's serving Jesus. Wonderful. But I'm watching all this burn as he's burning it. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, because I'm feeling sorry for him. I'm feeling like, oh, so sad that he's gone through, him and his family have gone through all of this pain and for that, and it's been burnt up in the fire. And then a reminder of the verse that Matt shared with me that very morning of 1 Corinthians 3. That when we stand before God, everything's going to be burnt up. I thought, how many times back in George, here, us, are we putting our trust in things that we shouldn't put our trust in? Making sacrifices for things that have no eternal value. Like, it's completely okay to have a nice house. It's completely okay to have a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice meal and enjoying life. But when we stand before God, all that's burnt up. It's all burnt up. That can't be the focus of our eternity. It can't be the focus of our existence. If we do, we are in big trouble on that day. 1 Corinthians 3 doesn't say that this is not going to affect where we spend eternity, but it is going to affect how we spend eternity. One of my favorite movies is Gladiator. And it says, the things we do in this world echo for eternity. I would change that. I think the things we do in this world determine our eternity. It determines where we are and what it's going to be like. How important is it for us to stop and to take stock and say, well, what am I doing for eternity? Am what I'm busy building and collecting? Am what I'm doing when I'm putting my trust in and all of that, does it have eternal value? And let's rather ask this question now, even if it's uncomfortable, rather than that day. Rather than that day. The Holy Spirit is always going to help us prepare for that day. He's going to convict us. He's going to move in us. He's going to challenge us because he wants us to prepare for that day. We stand before him one day and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. How awesome is that going to be? The alternative is, I have so many plans for your life. Burnt up. Please no. Please no. But we get to take everything that what we have now and change it into a different currency before what we have now is worthless. We get to prepare for that day. Can I ask you to stand with me to your feet? Let's come before God. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord. The first step to preparing for that day is actually giving your life to Jesus. It's asking for him for forgiveness. The Bible says that when we do that and we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, our name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Awesome. It means you're going to go to heaven. That's amazing. That's the first step. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that now. And then we can also just ask God just to speak to us. Maybe there's some things that we need to change, some things that we need to do differently as we prepare for that day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, right now, we want to thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I pray that you'd speak to us, God, that you'd convict us, that you'd move in our hearts. If you're here right now and you know that, or even if you're uncertain about where you're going to spend eternity, I want to love to lead you in a very simple prayer, a prayer of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so while everybody's eyes are closed and heads bowed, If that's you, I'd love to lead you in that prayer. Could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? They say, yes, Paul, that's me. Well done, well done, well done. Well done. You can put your hands down. All those that raise their hands, can you repeat this after me? Say this, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. Today, I give my life to you. I want to serve you, God. Come and live inside of me. In Jesus' name. While we're still in this attitude of prayer, maybe you've been serving God for a while. Maybe you're new to the faith. But let's just ask God to speak to us, to convict us. And you're just asking God, what one thing must I do differently? What do you want me to do? Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you'll come and convict, moving us. Maybe for some of you, it might be joining a church or forgiving somebody or giving something away. Choosing to get rid of that habit was to stop making excuses for some of the sinful patterns you have in your life. Maybe asking for help. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, as we just end the service or often pray, we pray that you'd move in us and that we would be different because we follow you. In Jesus' name.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.